Two episodes in a row of just the two of us, mate.
Just the two.
Last week we were on the road. This week we're in the studio, but our guest, last minute
passed
illness.
Away.
Sorry. We won't name who it is. Like, you know, they'll be back on. But basically, it was very last minute and wasn't feeling very
well.
You
know who you are, though.
You fucking know. Yeah. So, you know, in the current climate, if you're feeling under the weather, it's quite common people are cancelling short notice at the minute. Gigs, you know, basically get a tickle in the throat.
Back
and you can't be asked to get on the tube and you're like,
minus three.
Oh, I think I've got COVID, mate.
An excuse to stay in bed and watch Succession.
I know. Shit. That's what I'd want to do.
Get well soon.
I used COVID recently to, I'm on a weight loss challenge.
To kill some old people.
I'm on a weight loss challenge with Raj, as you can see up here.
Oh, but, yeah.
It's not going very well.
What is
for who you
are for me for oh, either of us we both just fall off the wagon.
So what is your how let's talk us through your what your plan was to lose weight. Have you got a number that you want to lose
your ideal
yeah but then the realistic number is no.
yeah. I mean
my plan was basically to drink loads of water and then do cryolipolysis, which is basically where they just take you in and they freeze the fat off you.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Does that
work?
Apparently not.
Okay, cool. All right.
$7,000 a hit.
It's not. I got a Groupon. Yeah. But then I was supposed to go in yesterday, and I just basically had too much on, and I used the COVID excuse and went, yeah, I can't really go.
Had you paid for it?
No, but I've been before, and it does kind of work, but it's not like.
But
life
what about?
Perception.
Just lessening calorie intake.
Right, okay.
Listen, I know it's extreme.
Have you thought about not eating everything?
I mean, you're not big, are you?
Oh, I'm big.
Are you?
I'm
dress well then.
Yeah, I just wear baggy clothing. A beard hides a multitude of
the beard. Have you got a nice shaved line of the beard? Do you keep your neckline tidy?
I've got a decent-ish jowline. It doesn't. The jowls aren't coming.
You look good, man. It's a good looking bloke.
It's a cryolipolysis there.
But I think you're right. Facial hair, like it's one of the, you know, the big privileges of being a man.
Makeup.
Obviously there are other ones, but
there's a thick dick. A nice willy. Sweet, sweet willy.
But it's that thing of we have things that we can do to disguise our slight.
But
women
have makeup, though, don't they?
Women have makeup, but yeah, we can't.
Some men
just,
as well.
We can, we? Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like hiding bags and stuff under your eyes, we tend to start to suck it up. But when I've been a bit chunkier, I just whack a beard on, man, and it is just takes that. You know, at the minute I'm all right.
What do you eat?
Decent weight.
Everything.
Just
everything.
What have you had today so far?
I had.
Talk us through it.
I had two coffees.
Did you wake up and have a coffee or a
at 4 o'clock in the morning? I had a whole pack of ginger biscuits.
Oh, that's when you've got a
that's
baby
before
though.
Bed.
No, that was it. Was yeah, it was just I've always been a midnight snacker.
I do that though. It's yeah, that's, don't I, have them in the house.
I can't. We don't normally, but. I was away for a bit and my
ginger
missus...
biscuits are so Moorish in the night when you're with that reptilian fucking
just that and a fucking half a pint of milk. Yeah, and so that was probably the first thing.
Fucking like Santa Claus. down the chimney. Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
And then I had an egg and bacon roll from Pret. And then I just had a chicken and bacon roll from Pret.
Wow. I would say.
And I don't know why I'm fat still.
But when you've got a baby, man, that. The first 6 months of having a kid, I ate like an animal my first 6 months of being like that. Because you're just tired and your hours are insane.
Your body needs.
There is times when you're just up at 3, 4 in the morning for like half an hour. And you're so tired, but you know you can't go to sleep.
Yeah,
so you have to just eat. I think you've got to allow yourself that sort of 6 months to just fucking eat and be just do what you need to do.
It's been 38 years though.
I mean, yeah, you haven't got any excuses before your kid came along. Just be ashamed of yourself.
It's hard, isn't it though? Because everywhere you go, there's like nice food just tempting you.
It's so much. It must have been way so much easier back in the day, isn't it? Do you remember like before cafe culture and
yeah,
the only even up to about 10 years ago before the Pretz and all that. all the cafes, all they did was like, you could just get a panini. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so it must have been well easy to not have the temptation. Obviously, there was McDonald's and things like that.
Yeah.
But I just, there wasn't the wave of like, you know, now you can do that thing of being like, I don't eat McDonald's. But instead, you're, but I eat four fucking pretz a day. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's that, it's now you can just eat everywhere.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Do you ever monitor your calorie intake just to see
what
it
is? Yeah, to be honest, when I do...
There's some good apps you can...
I get into intermittent fasting and then I'm in a routine there. And I quit drinking and that was kind of what I thought would be a lot
of
it. I
mean, that's good, yeah.
But it wasn't. It's my gluttonous self that issue.
How long ago did you do that?
But this year, really. So
sometimes if you quit drinking, though, your body... It's good to give it sugar for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a routine. I just need to sort of drink more water, eat in a sort of 4 to 6 hour window and not at night.
4 to 6 hours? Fucking hell.
I don't mind that. If I drink coffee and drink water,
yeah,
I don't get hungry.
Because my thing, like, I find if I have dinner, because I have dinner quite early, because I cook dinner for my wife and daughter. Mm. And obviously, so that's normally about 6, maybe 5:45, 6. Because then obviously she has dinner and then she starts her bedtime. Basically, if I have dinner then and don't eat again until the next morning, even though that's probably only, I'm probably not eating for 16 hours or something.
That's a 16-8 fast.
Yeah, so 16-8, like that one, I find I can pretty much eat what I want and not really pack it on. Mm. So that's sort of enough time for my body to go, right, get all that shit out.
Yeah.
All I do is do a massive doo-doo when I get up in the morning. Like proper, like...
Before you get up.
just shit the bed. That's normally how I wake up. And then, I feel like my body's got it all out and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So, I snack all the time. Like, I'm worried.
Sort of snacks?
I mean, not bad stuff. I'm pretty good at just like eating a lot of fruit throughout the day, but then I also will pick a little sweet here and there and whatever.
Do you want a pear? They're pretty juicy.
Oh, actually.
Do you want a pear?
No, I'm all right. I just had an egg and bacon sandwich.
It's quite a bruised pear, that, isn't it?
I know, it's a bit bruised.
What have you been doing with it? Kicking it down the road. it's a round pear. It's a bit of a...
It's from a Lewisham Market, actually. Nice, you go to Lewisham Market, man. Fruit's good.
Do you eat the whole pear? Do you go right through?
I do, actually, just not the top bit.
Not the bumhole bit.
Sometimes I just ding it at a bus.
Throw it through a car window or some traffic light.
Through some sunroof.
We used to do that, man, at school. You used to throw shit at buses and off buses. Yeah. I used to have a routine. One of my first ever big routines. You know when you felt like...
I thought you meant like a routine daily, throw shit off the bus. Yeah. Wake up in the morning.
Like routine, intermittent fasting.
Dash my sandwich.
Hour of yoga. Then I'd throw a sandwich at a bus.
Throw my yoga mat at a bus.
No, but I had a stand-up routine. It was my first ever like proper... Like, you know them early routines that you just get and you're like, that is it's a closer routine. It was a true story about being on a bus and the story I told on stage, I ended up having to change it a bit because people didn't believe it, even though it was true. I ended up making it a bit more extreme for people to suddenly believe it, which is weird. But the story I told was about seeing somebody throw a lettuce off a bus and it hitting someone in the face, right? The true story was...
As a kid, that's so exciting.
But the true story was me and my mates were throwing... We used to throw our sandwiches out the window at people. And this is horrible. We saw.
Good way to lose weight.
There's me just going, bring it on, kids.
But we saw a kid that from school, and it's a show. Like, he was one of them kids that was a bit of a nerd. He used to get a bit of shit. And him and his dad were walking down the road towards where the bus was going. And we all threw our sandwiches out. And one of the sandwiches opened mid flight, and it had like, and the lettuce that was in it came out, and it sort of literally they took a slice each in the face. Like, it was the chances of it happening were like a billion to one, and like we were crying literally, like both of them. Just imagine a father and son walking down the street both getting a slice of bread and lettuce all in their face.
That's amazing.
So we were crying. So I used to tell the story on stage, and then it ended up sort of moving into throwing a whole lettuce, and that the whole lettuce really worked, whereas when I told it as a sandwich, people were laughing, but I think they didn't believe
being hit by lettuce has got a kind of innocence.
It's a funnier thing.
It, yeah.
But I think they didn't believe the fact that a sandwich opened mid-flight and a slice each hit.
How do you tell that story and then not hate you?
hate me.
Yeah, like.
Also, it wasn't me throwing the letter. Okay. I did change it to be like, I saw somebody throw a letter out of the window. Whereas the truth was, I saw me throw a sandwich out.
I saw it in point of view.
I saw from the point of view and in the reflection of the bus window I was standing in front.
Because I've got stories that I've tried to tell, and it's me being just a horrible drunken asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everyone's just like, yeah. Do better.
It's a hard one. I do think you've got a really.
You've got a little finger. Can I take it out?
Yeah. What is it?
Sorry for touching.
But let's.
We're dressed weird today, innit? I feel like we should do a psychology podcast. But I've got a true story. I sometimes tell on stage about me and my mates ruining a screening of Shrek 2 for loads of kids, and it paints us in such a bad light. But it's that thing in the story, I always tell it as, look, I'm not proud of this. This is one of the worst things I think I've done. And it's just about me and my mates were shit-faced. And when should we go to the cinema? Whatever's starting next, we've got to watch it. And it was a fun game.
Yeah.
And we bought loads of cans of cider, and it was Shrek 2, the weekend it opened. And we got in, and it was packed full of kids and families. Obviously, like, this was their favourite film, the follow-up to their favourite film, isn't it? This is Shrek, man. And four pissed arseholes who were like, we were all like 18 or 19, were just drinking cans and laughing. And we just came up with a game to see like who could open a can at the funniest moment. It's horrible, isn't it? So like, every time they'd see the moment, you'd hear like, and then at one point, we all finished our cans and we thought that was the end of it. And then we're just shit faced in the cinema and didn't realize my mate Richard saved a can. Like he'd sort of squirreled one away without telling us. And just at the end, when like Shrek and what's her name? Diaz's character who plays the other Shrek?
Princess Shrek?
Princess or whatever. But Princess Shrek, did you say? Yeah, Princess Shrek. They're about to kiss and it's like a beautiful end. My mate Rich pulled his can out, stood up and just went. And you just saw everyone hated us already, man. It was like fucking grotty. And regret's a terrible, like, you know, you can't regret, it's pointless, innit? It doesn't change the fact you did it, but I know I would never do it again. But like, it is one of them things I feel guilty about that I did.
You should go and do it today.
Yeah.
Just every film, anytime there's a big film
can
come
of coke
out. But I should do it to Marvel films, all them Marvel nerds sitting here excited to watch, wonder what Captain America's up to now, and fuck off, you nerd. Spider-Man. I don't like. We've talked about it before. I'm not a fan of Marvel films.
No, I'm not either. I've not watched any of them really.
I don't mind them, but I think they're aeroplane films. I don't trust anyone that thinks they're great cinema. Do you know what I mean?
I was never into the comics, and it was just kind of like
same here.
It's just I'd rather watch like something. I watched a Liam Neeson film on a plane, The Marksman.
What's that like?
It was okay. It's like every other Liam Neeson film.
He's got a real, like, I don't get how they get away with that. It's like a formula. Liam Neeson, right, Liam Neeson's an ex-Special Forces.
Yeah.
Something happens.
It's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's old as well. Like, he's pretty cool that he's pulling it off when he's got to be in his 60s,
I
isn't
mean,
he?
In the real world, he ain't going to be harming no one.
Bruck him up, mate.
Fucking
he was fighting the cartel.
They just fucking put a bullet in him in real life.
Well, they tried. But they couldn't.
I mean, this is true, yeah. What, the documentary? Yeah, the yeah. It's a hidden camera show.
I just got pissed off at once. He's rescuing, spoiler alert, he's rescuing this kid from the cartel because the cartel are desperately trying to kill this kid.
Oh, God. They're always up to nothing.
And the kid has got a whole load of cartel cash.
What's the matter with them
lot? I know, they're just not.
They're mean.
They're rotters.
I think somebody should do something about it.
And he's got all this cartel cash. And at one point, he goes, this cash is for you. And the kid goes, I don't want it. It's cartel money. And he goes, well, I don't want it either. And they just burn the cash.
Fucking idiot.
And it's I was just angry because the cartel were tracking them because they could see where their credit card was.
Yeah.
It's like, surely you can just figure out that this is going to be useful for you potentially in a little bit.
I know. It's bullshit.
Put it to good use. Give it to charity.
Exactly.
Burn it.
Burn it.
Fucking idiots.
Anyway,
stupid. No one would do that in real life.
No,
today. It's bullshit.
No, true.
It's ex-special forces, like highest morals in. Fuck off. Just, you kill people in war, but you won't like have a just bit of cash.
Do you know what film I watched recently that I thought was absolute dog shit? I was in Cardiff. But you were in Cardiff at the weekend. I was in the same hotel, Citrus Hotel. Did you have a bath?
John Malkovich.
I used to own it when it was the Big Sleep.
I didn't have a bath, but I did the last time I was there.
And the baths are very deep and nice. Yeah. It's a good bath, right? And I don't have a bath at home. or shower. I just, you know,
just protests at home.
No, but I've got a shower at home. So when I'm in a hotel with a bath, I treat myself in it, man. I was in the bath for an hour and 45 minutes.
Nice.
Watching a film called...
Fingers go wrinkly?
Everything went wrinkly. Batty crease, everything. But have you seen a film called... Is it Nobody? With Bob Odenkirk. And it's basically a take on Taken. It's that
what
sort
a comedy,
of thing.
Is it?
No. It's a serious one. Do you know Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul?
The main actor.
So he's a comedy actor... He's a bit of a nerdy guy, and his film is called Nobody, and it's basically, he's a bloke, he's married, he's got kids, he's a bit of a boring guy, he's got an office job, his kids don't really respect him. One night, his house gets burgled, and basically one of them holds his kid, and he comes down, and he's got a chance behind the guy of a golf club to put a golf club, and he stops, and his son's like, and then basically the people run away.
Why, because he's just scared?
Yeah, and that's what you think. Right, and then his son's like, "Why didn't you hit him? You had a chance." And he's basically a coward. His son doesn't respect him. And then it turns out he's proper like deep special forces. He was like the most dangerous guy in the whole thing. He just looks like a nerd. And basically, he gave it all up to find a boring life. He wanted to get away from the killing and all that. And then he goes on a big rampage, and like it's so unbelievable and crap. And like
sounds
his
bad.
Dad in it is played by the guy who plays Doc from Back to the Future.
And
RZA from Wu-Tang as well. They're the three.
What?
Like, and not
is it a comedy?
No, but all three of them are the most unrealistic like ex special forces. There's a scene at the end when they're sort of in a gunfight. And it's just this old man, and RZA is just sort of like, and like every part of it, I felt like it is not good. It's not a good film.
They probably went through so many different actors to finally get to the
and
people
I feel
that
like they messed up every bit of casting.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. I know, you know, I'm sure some people enjoyed it. I just found it, it's the same format as so many other films, and it was just, it didn't work for me, I'm afraid, guys. I'm sorry to say. But it was nice to watch it in a bath. I've never watched a whole film in a bath. No, it was on Amazon Prime.
I've never watched a whole film in a bath. I always get out about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Cool.
You know what? I've run out of fucking vape juice.
Oh, that's the end.
You don't have a vape, do you?
No. Just bacon and eggs is all. That's my vibe.
smoke that.
Where do you need to do? If you totally run out, do you just buy some?
No, I've got some at home. I just forgot it.
No.
It won't harm me.
They're going to mess you up now. You're going to be all stressed.
It won't harm me.
Are you not a fan of a bath? Can you not lie in a bath for a long time?
Not for like, not an hour, probably. I mean, you keep adding hot water.
Yeah. No, it just goes cold. I'm like an old cup of tea just in a bath.
It's like a lukewarm coffee.
Yeah, no, I keep topping it up. And the Citrus Hotel in Cardiff, it's got them taps that are sort of like that you just have to turn. So you can do it all
with
your toes.
Oh,
that's the dream of a bath.
No, it's a good bath. It's a good bath. I was feeling really rough there a few weeks ago and I had a hot bath, man. I was going to get a bath bomb.
I love a bath bomb.
From Lush.
Do you know the best Lush bath bomb, guys? Here's a tip. There's one that is, it's oat and... stuff, and it's in a little sock.
Helen Bauer was there, not while I was having a bath, but the gig, and she was talking about putting oats in a tight,
in like a muslin,
in a muslin or a pair of tights.
Oh yeah,
got some.
I've got a few pairs from my old bank robber days.
And do it like you can make your own one.
Yeah, oh yeah, that'd be very easy, wouldn't it?
A bit of porridge, put some blueberries in it.
But that's Jimmy McGee told me he does
that. He was there, actually.
He told me about that sort of oat bath in the past.
Maybe he was telling me as well.
But you can buy one in Lush. Again, you should probably make your own. It'd be much cheaper. The Lush one, it's in a little sort of muslin tight type thing. But it's got like creamy stuff as well. It's like a bar of soap that melts.
Makes you slippery.
Oh man, it makes your skin so smooth. And at the end, you can then scrub yourself with the oaty tights thing. Like fucking dirty bath.
I've never had one. Like, this sounds weird. Oats in a bath.
Oats in a
bath.
It
does sound.
Makes your skin
lovely.
It's good
for your skin.
Yeah. I don't even eat oats. So, like,
you should eat oats.
Maybe I should eat oats.
Every morning, instead of just, oats is very good for you.
Yeah. I can't get near a Lush.
Tip.
Though. Like, I can't, like, the smell.
I've got my friend Richard can't go in. It's too strong.
It's really strong.
Like some people, I think, you know, it's all about how sensitive you are to smells and stuff. I love it. I go in there and it's like sensory overload, but I'm into it. But I don't. The only thing I don't
can
like
imagine
about
working
the
there just must be. I mean, you must get used to it.
The problem I have with Lush is going in there is because I wear quite a lot of black. Like, is everyone in Lush who works there always just wears a black t-shirt? So if you walk in at the wrong time of year, like, you just other people come up to me and go, "Excuse me, mate, where's your whatever?" And I'm just like, oh, I just need this point. But like, and it just feels like there's so many members of staff in Lush's, isn't there? You walk around, everyone's
I don't think I've been talking to you. I have to cross the street sometimes.
That's
like,
bad.
Yeah,
I really like
been into one for years, but they're nice though.
They're very, I think they're sort of, they do that thing where they try and tell the staff, I think to be too over-friendly, isn't it? You always feel like you're getting chirps in Lush. Just, but actually, it's just a really over-friendly, like, 23-year-old.
Getting flirted with. Yeah. Is that what they do? Tell them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not...
Sleep with the customers.
But, you know, I've had conversations that have felt like... Sort of, they were
bringing the heat a little bit.
Yeah, almost like they're alluding to what you can do with all their things.
All that might be in your head, Carl.
Can rub it on your bumhole.
Do you want me to do that?
If you just, is that just gone off? The camera just moved off centre. Let's move it back. Uh oh, what happened there? But yeah, it's they are very friendly. I mean, I'm not saying I think there's a middle ground. I don't like shop staff that
when they're dead.
When they're too friendly, it's a bit much. When they're not. When they're rude, it's a bit much.
You like it when they're genuine, like they're just nice, they want to help.
Yeah, I agree.
Really, Julian, we like it when they're fake. We like it when they're lying. I worked in a shop for a few years.
What shop was it?
Fat Face.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Fucking bad clothes, Fat Face, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I feel bad, like, because I worked there, but no, I didn't. I had to wear a top. I hated it.
Yeah.
Every now and then, sort of I just didn't.
Country town types wear Fat Face, isn't it?
Well, it was started by two brothers on a ski slope.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and but yeah, I didn't. I don't know. I was stoned all the time. I used to open the shop, but have a big joint outside first.
What age were you when you were
early 20s?
Okay.
And then people come in, but I would just be stoned and not know how to interact. And then I got into it, be like, "Hi, how are you? Do you need any help?" Be like, "No, I'm just looking." And I'd end up being one of them guys that get on people's nerves. But I did it for about 3 years.
Yeah.
It was all right, mate.
I was having a chat with my wife yesterday. She found it very funny as I was telling her about my teenage jobs. Like, I started working in an Irish social club. It should have been illegal because it was a pub, essentially, because it was technically a social club in that it was a members club.
What were you doing in there?
I was working, so I used to collect the empty glasses and clean stuff and do that and help out with delivering drinks to tables and stuff. But if because it was a social club, even though the memberships weren't, it wasn't like a big paid for membership, it was just like Irish people in Southwest London would all just be members. You just go in and sign up. There was a legal loophole where I was allowed to work there. Underage.
I think you are allowed to serve, because I've just done my personal license, and I think it's the DPS who has to oversee everything.
Yeah.
So I think underage people can work there, serve alcohol.
But it used to, I don't know if they changed the law, but up until a few years ago, you couldn't work after something like 8 p.m.
Oh, maybe.
If you were under 16.
You were under 16?
I was 13. Oh, when I started working there.
What about rent boys in
there? Rent boys,
they have to be done by eight.
Oh, okay.
They have to be done by eight. You have to ejaculate by eight, otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Then you're breaking the law.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I used to work, I was 13 working in a pub. But I'll report back. Sorry, guys, got to make a quick call.
I have to ring my team when I get out. Street team.
So I was working in a pub essentially from the age of 13. And then I worked there on and off until I was 19. And like by the age of 16, I was basically serving behind the bar. And I used to stay behind for lock-ins and drink. And I was telling my wife, like, I used to just think I was an adult basically. When I was like 14, I'd finish work. Sometimes at like 11, 30, 12. We'd have a lock-in. I'd go down to the pool room and like play a few games of snooker with some of the punters. I was like, I'm 14. This is fucking weird. It's weird that you lot are hanging out with me at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I've got school tomorrow.
So you had school.
But it was that. Sometimes I'd work Thursday nights, yeah. And I'd get in at like sort of midnight, 12:30, and then I'd get off of school in the morning.
That's weird how they're just, maybe they just like to kids' company.
The old Michael Jackson.
I tell you what, there's a massive shortage of staff. At the moment,
get the kids in, mate.
Maybe that's
bring the age down.
I mean,
11.
You know, we expect kids in third world countries to make all our shit.
Yeah,
it's about time our kids started pulling their weight.
Make a fucking cocktail.
Exactly. Knock me up a Capri Hanna, please.
When I was working at Fat Face, I was also for a few weeks working as a night job as well.
What was a night? Oh,
but this
God.
Is how, like, stupid, like no, like just so irresponsible with how to work things out. Like, I was working in the day and at the night. Wasn't sleeping. That's I don't know how insane. I did it.
What was the night job?
It was a night porter.
At a hotel?
At a hotel.
What hotel was it?
The Barden Lodge in Blackheath, which is not there anymore. It's a private school.
What was that like?
A lot of my friends did it. I think we all had a turn at doing this job because we were in a band and we were just like, I just thought I could play the guitar all the time.
Like, what weird night porter.
I'd be so tired.
To get have you got any spare toothbrushes? And you're just sitting there.
We did. I only did it for a couple of weeks. I just couldn't do it. Like, I would just be so tired. There'd be someone be showing me how to operate the switchboard, and I just could not take it in. And I'd be like, okay, cool, I got it. And I just didn't take it in. My brain weren't working. And it's quite scary as well. You had to go and put the breakfast stuff out, and it was in the basement, and it was just fucking scary, yeah. Man. But
Have you ever temped?
Yeah, temping. Office angels.
Yeah, I did office angels as well. That's shit.
Sometimes
isn't it?
You get to like quite a good one though. Yeah. Then other times you could dot a little bit.
You could, but some of them, man. I remember doing one, and I got put in one. It was quite a fun office, and for a few days it was like data entry, but everyone was all right, and I was like, this is all right. And then I'd have another one that was a bit moody, and then I got to one once, and it was office work, so it's meant to be. Like, I was meant to be doing data entry and like accounts junior jobs and things like that. And they said, yeah, we've got you one in an office in Wimbledon. I was like, all right, wicked. That's not far from where I was living at the time. I got there and she went, right, we've got sort of basically this bit of work that just needs doing in the next couple of days. And she took me into a boardroom and there was just paperwork everywhere. And she gave me about 800 ring binders. And she went, yeah, I need you just to sort these and then put them in the ring binders. And I was like, what? That's it? It was like 2 days I had to just get papers, put them in order, and then put them in folders. And that was it for 2 days. I was like, that's something you could get a fucking kid to do, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
For free. Like, just get one of your kids to come in.
Can't ask your daughter.
Yeah.
For a fucking sandwich.
She's working down the pub. She's playing pool.
Exactly, 21 and I'm sitting there putting things in binders.
Yeah. I
found it so boring.
It was quite, sometimes on Office Angels, it was all right though, yeah.
Did you ever, I remember, Office Angel sent me to an interview. Oh no, it might have been I was also like on Reed's books as well.
Oh yeah.
And they sent me to an interview for a sales job in Wimbledon. And it was one of them ones where it was a group interview and you had to do do a pitch.
I did.
And
that.
It was one of the most embarrassing things. This was a good couple of years before stand up ever came in. And I used to be like chronically shy in terms of speaking in front of people. I used to hate reading out loud in school and stuff. And they literally were like, right, so this is the scenario. You've got to get up and just fucking chat. And I crumbled, man. I fell apart.
I did exactly that as well. Everyone was like public school and they were all getting up. They were all like confident and just having a laugh. I wanted the floor to eat me. But all the managers were all there as well at this point in Goose Street. I did the job for like 5 years. I was quite good at it. That initially, man, it was so mortifying. And afterwards, one of the other sales guys said, why are you even doing this job? Like, I was so bad.
Oh God.
And he was shit at the actual job. Fucking pussy. He really got to me when he said that. And I just worked. Yeah, I managed to do it. But it was so mortifying getting up. But you'd be like, have a car, like pretend you've got a car and you've got to sell it. And they're asking questions. Ugh.
God, here. this is just before Christmas last year. And the manager or head, the guy I was talking about before, I sort of went into the office to just pick up my stuff because we were based over there. And I heard him hand a barman a pen and goes, sell me this pen.
Oh, fuck off, man. It's like a Wolf of Wall Street. You're working in a bar, man.
I cracked up. I was just like, he's serving pints. He doesn't need sell you a pen.
God. Yeah. Do you want to buy this pen? No. All right.
Cool, man.
I just come here to serve beer.
Yeah.
I've had that in sales job interviews. like stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah, just fuck off. That's what you should say. Tell me this pen. And I'll
buy
fuck
this pen
off.
Or I'll put it in your neck.
Yeah, yeah. I'll fucking stick the pen up your ass, mate. That is, it's such a, there is a thing in some people do sales and genuine, like you've said about it before, how like you're just doing like some sort of normal sales job, but people think they're in the Wolf of Wall Street, innit? They think they're in like, yeah, just like fucking on like proper like New York, Manhattan.
There would be loads of that when I worked, yeah. People in the toilets, you see them in the mirror talking to themselves.
Really?
All of that stuff. They thought it was Wall Street, man. Closing, always be closing, like Glengarry Glen Ross. I mean, that when I watched that film, it was while I was doing that job. It was so bleak.
Paul Tonkinson used to always say that to me when I was new, when we were gigging together. Always be closing.
It's such
and it was a
wind
up. It's yeah. Like it was the first weekend I ever did the Manchester Comedy Store, my first full weekend at the Manchester Comedy Store, and they'd put me in to close the late show on a Saturday, and basically that I didn't know what the Manchester late show was like, and Tonkinson all from the we did Thursday, Friday, Saturday together from the Thursday, it was like, mate, best spot of the weekend night. You guys always be closing, and basically I looked forward to it. I was like, oh, because I was all new and naive. And it got to the Saturday Late Show. It was shit. Like, it was dead. Just a bunch of fucking manx sitting there like that. And then, like, it got more and more tired as the night went on. I went on at the end, all like, giddy, hey, guys. And it was just like, you know, fucking, who's this fucking southern bastard? You know what I mean?
Just shit for
and Tonks was just backstage just laughing at the fact that he basically lied to me all week. He's a funny man.
But you'd rather have the hope than
love
the fear. Talks.
I suppose, yeah, than dread it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, right. Oh.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it's better that you had delusions coming up to it.
Ignorance,
hey?
Ignorance.
Otherwise,
bliss,
you'd have been pissed off a little bit or like worried.
Yeah, but no, I agree.
It is bliss.
I agree. I'd like to live in ignorance. That's what I do with a lot of.
The Cardiff Glee is not open this weekend because of COVID.
Is it true?
I was there last weekend. Two staff had COVID. Not really. I've had a test. Positive.
Omicron.
It's the new Omicron. And
so they shut the whole.
They shut the whole club this weekend. Shit.
Just because they don't have enough staff, or
just because of the COVID.
I suppose
scare.
That if every member of staff got pinged. Oh, I'm sure because now you get pinged if you're double. I've been pinged twice since they changed the rules. On you being able to have COVID and do stuff. No, but
have you had a booster.
Nah.
Have you had any vaccines?
Yeah, yeah, I've had two.
No, but now when you get pinged, I've been pinged twice. Like, I got one about a month ago and one about a week later, weirdly. And it basically, you have to go through the questionnaire and it says, are you double jabbed? What's your age? All this stuff. And it says, right, you don't need to self-isolate, just get a PCR. And you on the app, you then order your PCR and they send it and you do it and you get the results 2 days later.
That's good.
And so if there's two members of staff that have got it, surely if everyone gets a test, they're all right, aren't they?
Maybe you can be asked.
Maybe there was more to it than that. Because on the first email, they said, by the way, just to let you know, two members of staff have. And then on the another email, he said, the guy that books it said that it's been shut. So maybe there was something.
It must have been an outbreak of from staff and stuff. Yeah. But it's good. I mean, that and the Glee, they're very on the ball. Like I remember like doing
in Wales as well. They're quite on it.
They're still. I mean, and it's weird that you don't realise how different it is. When I went to Glasgow, start of October, like you know, by then no one's wearing masks in London, innit? No one gives a shit.
No.
We're all just packed into the tube up against each other's faces,
licking each other's mouths.
I got off the flight in Glasgow, and everyone's masked. And it also like it's not even a thing. Like you know what I mean? I'd go to walk into like the shopping centre, and I'd watch everyone walking in just pop their masks on as they walked into a shopping centre. Like totally, like you forget that here it feels more. Like, I don't know. London's always felt a bit more like. It's a question mark, isn't it, about wearing a mask?
You feel like sometimes my mask today. Sometimes, you've got to wear them now, haven't you?
To be honest, I'd just given up. But then now that this new, it seems like everyone's right. We probably should do this.
Yeah.
It seems weird. I don't know. Yeah, I will get one.
I've got spares here if you want one.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. You've got loads.
I've just always got one.
Only wear
on
Gucci
in my bag.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, gimp ones.
The ones with a ball.
It's the ball gag. Does that work?
I need a dog collar as well.
We're in boxer. We've got plenty of them. Yeah.
Can you catch it on your ass? but it's I I know they've tried. Some people are a bit like shitting themselves now about this new one, but I'm quite chilled about it. It feels like it's not as, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it's affecting people any worse than any other strain.
Read something that it's milder.
Yeah. Doesn't that what happen? Time there's a variant, I thought it gets more transmittable, but less deadly. Dangerous.
Yeah.
To the point where it's just a cold, isn't it? And just goes around. So that's surely the end game for them, isn't it? So
I don't know. I think we're just all fatigued by it all. It's just right, cool. Look, listen. My nan's had a good innings.
Here's a question.
People die of like car crashes. They're not going to like just ban cars, are they?
Did I mention it on here? I won't name the comic. I might have already mentioned it. I mentioned about how I got a lift to a gig out of town.
The comic
asked me to do a lateral flow test. I'm just going to. I'm going to a gathering on this weekend, and the host of the party has asked everyone to do a lateral flow before.
And just say, I did it.
Whatever. Yeah. it's that thing where I get it, but then there's still part of me. I don't know why it goes like fucking calm down, mate. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's weird because I totally understand what they're saying, but I have that little cynical part of me.
No, there's a bit of you that just feels it's kind of like posturing. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose
there's almost like a cult with it with some places, especially
seems
with
to be political as well. Yeah, doesn't it?
That's what I mean about masks and stuff. Like I feel like London, that's the case. You go out to other places, it's
like the right
chill.
Are kind of anti it, or aren't they? And the left are like. Like they want everything.
Because I'm vaxxed, but I have no problem with someone who doesn't want to get
vaxxed. I don't feel like it's... because it's that thing. I would probably have a different opinion if the vaccine stopped transmitting it. Do you know what I mean? If you got the vaccine and suddenly you couldn't pass it on...
But it doesn't, though, does it?
Then I'd be like, it is a selfish decision to not get it. But if because that's not the case, you're not affecting anyone. You're literally somebody... I suppose the ethical or moral argument is some people who aren't vaxxed are ending up in ICUs and they're taking up.
But
NHS
that's the same as smokers,
people,
isn't
or
it?
Fat
or...
fucks like me.
You should all be fucking ashamed of yourself.
Everyone's got their vice.
I know what you mean. Yeah, but then I mean, people who are overweight do get a lot of shit from people for taking up. Yeah, smokers do get shit for taking up.
There'll be like campaigns.
I don't think they get the same. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's
I don't think. No, I think there's much more of a political.
Is it vax shaming now? If you're unvaxxed.
I do think there's a different. It is different. You can tell some people who would. Say to somebody, if you're unvaxxed, you end up in hospital. You should die. I wouldn't say that to somebody who's making a life choice elsewhere.
And it's kind of it's crazy. In Austria, it's mandated now.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah.
What they legally have to have.
What if you can't have it for health reasons? Obviously, there are exemptions, aren't there? Because I know.
I don't know.
Wasn't it the drummer from Offspring? He can't get it because he's got a health issue, and they basically had to drop him from the band because they're doing like a global tour.
Oh, really?
And there's loads of venues and towns.
It's pretty
and
fly
countries.
For a white guy, that guy. <isn't it?
laughs> I just saw an interview with him. Weirdly, he was flicking TV the other day, and that CBeebies is a 702, and I went the wrong way. And if you go down to 600, it's news channels. I've not watched the news channels in ages. Yeah, up it's like babes. Such a weird thing. You got CBeebies, like the 700s on my telly. So, yeah, in between news and like Babe Station. Fucking yeah, let's have an afternoon of it. But there was an interview of Offspring on like some weird. I think it was like Al Jazeera or something. Mm. And they would, and it showed one of their old songs, you know, one that goes, "My friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that bitch." And I was like, you wouldn't really get a song like that now, would you?
No.
It feels a bit sort of retro. Like, I just call a woman a proper, like, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's quite liked it. It's quite.
Maybe she was a bitch.
I mean, she probably was a bitch.
What a bitch.
There was quite a period of songs like that about. Do you remember She Fucking Hates Me by Puddle of Mud? That was a good one.
There's still a lot of songs with some. Pretty horrific lyrics.
I'd say hip hop has really run with that.
Yeah,
they've grabbed the baton and run with it. But it used to be all genres used to be like, no matter what it was, could be a doo-wop song. It'd be like, bitch,
doo-wop, that bitch.
I smacked my baby.
Like, there's a what's that? Bruno? Is it Bruno Mars?
Rob Thicke.
There's a new song with Bruno Mars and a guy called Anderson .Paak. Who I've listened to his solo stuff. I really liked it. I'm not a fan of Bruno Mars. Not that I'm not a fan. It's just it's not my sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did a duet they've teamed up and sort of created a little super group. And there's just, yeah, there's a bit where Bruno Mars sort of really, he refers to a woman as a bitch, and it's going around as a little like sort of gif. And it's, he said he really lands it, you know what I mean? It's not like sort of a throwaway bitch. It's like, that bitch. And I'm like, fucking hell, mate. That's, you know, it does feel quite visceral.
I thought he was like really nice and happy.
That's what I thought when he was all like, up, down, funky, boop, da, boop, like that. And now he's calling women bitches. Yeah. Calm down, Bruno.
Maybe they were a bitch, though.
Yeah. You do keep bringing us back to this concept.
Because men can be arseholes, can't they?
We can be bitch. Ding, men can ding. Be bitches as well, man.
Yeah, we can be bitches.
We can be bitchy. See our WhatsApp chats.
Ooh.
I know, but it's, yeah, I agree. I'm not saying everyone should be able to be called anyone a bitch.
I think it's women's right to be a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's equality to call people, everyone can call everyone anything. Not within, yeah, there is actually rules and certain boundaries we shouldn't
cross.
What's
the rules? Not really.
I'm talking. All right, let's list them, shall we? Should we name all the bitches? But yeah, I don't know what I was about to say. I start a sentence, I have no idea where that was even going to, what words were going to come that follow. What time is it? Do we need to wrap up?
We're on 40.
Oh, really? We should wrap it up in a minute, because this was a sort of last minute decision. Our guest dropped out very late. We thought we're in the studio. We might as well just have a chat and get on with our lives. What's everyone got planned for the weekend?
I'm in Cambridge tonight and Essex tomorrow for a couple of gigs, mate.
Couple of gigs. I've got gigs this weekend. Top Secret and Banana Cabaret Friday.
Banana Cabaret.
Banana nice Cabaret London. Saturday. Yeah, it's nice, actually.
I'm supposed to be in Guernsey this week, but...
Why does Banana Cabaret not have an MC?
It's just historically it never has, and it's always just thought, you know, it's almost keeping with its tradition, and it works, to be honest.
It's a really great club, the
opening act, if it's somebody, sometimes obviously if people are doubling, they just go, can I go on first? If the act is somebody who might not be the most conversationally styled comedian, they can sometimes have a slightly more, you know,
colder,
slow build,
yeah,
set. Whereas if you're a bit chatty, you go on at the start, it's fine. Like, you know what I mean? It just works because I think the audience just warms.
I love that
it quicker.
Room. It's great.
It is a great room. And it's one of them rooms that I'd been to pre-comedy and all that. I used to go there and get shit-faced.
Oh, okay.
They used to have a wicked nightclub on a Friday, Saturday nights.
Oh, really?
But as Balham's sort of now become a lot more gentrified, and it's always, it got gentrified way before Tooting, like in that sort of the Northern Line gentrification.
Yeah.
You know, Clapham got posh and then Balham got posh and then Tooting took about another 10 years and then it got posh. But Balham used to be a real party town and then now it's all sort of middle class families. So the nightclub there on a Friday, Saturday just sort of died, really. It's now open late, but it's not it used to be mayhem. That room, the comedy would finish and there'd be a queue round the block to go into the nightclub afterwards.
Really?
And it was wicked. So me and my mates used to go to that. And that's when I found out there was comedy there. And that was when I went to watch it. It was the first stand-up I ever watched.
And did that inspire you to want to...
It did. The comedian...
Do you remember who there was?
Addie van der Borg was the comedian that made me want to do stand-up.
I've seen him for ages.
I haven't, actually. But he was the comic I first saw on stage. Because I remember the lineup was him. I think it might have been Pat Monahan. I can't remember who else. But I remember Addie was the one. He was so funny. And so, like, he was like a clown. And, like, it was so, like, silly. I was like, oh, this is fucking amazing. I've never seen anything like this live. And I was like, one day it will be me.
I had that
ironically
scene.
I now look a bit like Addy with my tash, looking like a mime.
I had that with Martin Davis. Do you remember Martin Davis?
Martin Davis is sort of, all right, fucker. That
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. Hello,
yeah.
Fucker.
He lives in South Africa now, doesn't he?
Yeah, half the year. He's a cool guy.
He's a nice guy, yeah. Very sort of mod, sort of cool.
Yeah.
Very chiseled features. Looks like a sort
bit
of
like Rod Stewart, but younger.
Yeah, it looks like a Quentin Blake drawing, you know, like Roald Dahl, Quentin Blake.
He's always angular. He's a sharp dresser, isn't he?
Yeah,
but I remember I bombed my first bomb. It was so hard, and he went on after and just smashed this gig, and I was like, he was so good. I was was like, how does he do that?
Quite, he was very, he really went into the crowd, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was,
yeah.
Some of them older comics, man, used to have that thing of being so rude to the audience, and the audience just loved
it. Shut up, fucker.
Yeah, shut up, fucker.
What's your name, fucker?
And everyone would be like, ah!
Some people still go to comedy for that.
I know.
Like, oh, God, call my mate a cunt.
Roast me,
I know.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know.
Your mate's a cunt.
I think it's...
Get into the middle of your set. You're a cunt.
Yeah, oh, excuse me, mate. Why are you such a cunt?
Just go, not in the toilets, like when you're on stage. Oh, sorry.
Following home.
Fork into his car.
Yeah. It is. Oh, last night I did a gig, just quickly before we wrap. Last night I did a gig in Shoreham-by-Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Down, like, you go to Brighton and go east. And it's a lovely art centre called the Rope Tackle Theatre. It was me, compere, and Bella Hull opening, and Steve Bougeia closing. And it was a nice gig. They were a bit sort of, you know, they took a bit of warming up because they're, you know, it was sort of a bit, some of them a bit older and whatever. And there was this sort of very eccentric old, large chap sitting on his own at the side, and I was hosting, so I naturally had to say, like, hello, mate, like, are you on your own? Yeah. And I went, what's your name? And he gave me a fake name, and it was a name from a Shakespeare play. And I was like, this guy's a bit of an eccentric. Yeah. He didn't go, this is the thing, he didn't go for the sort of mainstream Shakespeare's. He went off-piste, mate. So he was very hard to have a conversation with because he was so eccentric, but quite funny. And anyway, I sort of, and Bella went on, did a set. She finished. I announced the interval. We go backstage. And bear in mind, it's a proper theatre. So there's a stage there, out there, back through the curtain into the dressing room. And he just bowled into the dressing room at half time to give Bella some tips on comedy. And luckily there was no
threat
to him.
Luckily she took them on board.
Yeah, she has now. And it's improved. But he, like, there was no threat or malice to him. Like, he didn't walk in like a sort of, let me tell you some tips. He walked in, was like, he goes, hi guys, I'm sorry, you don't mind if I pop backstage? And we're like looking at each other like, fucking hell. And then he just went, he goes, I thought you were very funny to Bella. He went, I thought I'd give you I've got some ideas for your comedy. And he just gave her two jokes that he'd come up with.
How dare people do that? Though.
But I know it sounds weird, but there was no bad intentions to him.
No.
He was just a fucking old nutter
yeah.
who was genuinely was trying to be all like, I thought you were great, but here's a few
yeah,
jokes.
Fair enough.
Were the ideas?
They were shit. Like, one of them was really dirty.
They're in your set now.
He goes like, he went, oh, here's one idea actually. It'd be quite funny if you brought like an old pair of dirty knickers and put a Snickers bar in it. And then went around the crowd and, you know, and obviously it's not poo. Like, you know, and he was just like,
oh God.
And he was just an old nutter. And he did that. And then he went, well, anyway, I just wanted to come and speak.
He had a kink about that, probably.
Probably, yeah. The other joke wasn't
just like
about
Snickers.
Thought to sing Bella's new set.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's like, have you seen Bella Hull recently? She really changed her style. She's doing this weird shitty pants bit. But
it's
yeah,
Edinburgh show.
It was the first. I've only ever seen people storm the dressing room violently. Do you know what I mean? Like Birmingham Glee, I once. I can't remember who the act was, but somebody had upset an audience member. We were all sat after the show backstage, and someone just comes flying through the dressing room door, like trying to get to the act.
Wow.
The bouncer's like grabbing him and dragging him out.
People are like, can you say retarded anymore?
Not really.
Good.
But, you know,
people
you
are retarded. But like, what the fuck are they doing?
Know, it's just, you know, calm down, guys. It's a show. But yeah, it was a real experience having him just bumbling. I'm gonna tell you about shitty knickers.
I saw some videos of people falling down the stairs at Birmingham Glee. Have you seen them?
I love the CCTV footage.
Oh, it's so funny.
When I was in Cardiff,
face planting.
It's the best. When we were in Cardiff, I was in Cardiff a few weeks ago. Just before the show, they came in. I think it was in Cardiff, and they showed us footage of somebody falling off their chair. Just before the show, like, they literally came in, they were all cracking up. They were like, look at this, we've just got this off the CCTV. And there's a woman coming back from the bar with drinks, put them on her friend, went to sit down and just went right off the back.
So funny.
I just went down, mate. I was so happy.
I was saying that they should release it, but they can't.
No, they can't. It's against the law, I think.
Is it?
I think so. Well, is that surely without their CCTV footage of somebody in your venue?
It's just filming in the venue. I mean, it's kind of like that's what you've been framed was all about.
But they did send them in themselves.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
if you can't identify them, if you blur their face,
I suppose if you blur their face, it's fine. But I'd say if you can if they are identifiable, I think it's.
Well, there was a massive fight at the Cardiff the weekend before I was there. And there was this massive geezer, like a giant, just fighting with everyone.
Oh, God.
I've never seen at a comedy show.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've seen fights outside many a comedy club. Normally it's outside, not inside. I've seen a couple of inside. When I did the Blackpool Comedy Station in like March. It was my last weekend of gigs before COVID started in March, so 2020.
Yeah.
And there was a ding dong on the Friday night in the gig, proper just like. Basically, some heckling was happening throughout the show. There was like someone who was being a bit of a dick, and some of the other audience members were sort of going like, shh. And at the end of the show, basically someone went up to the guy and just went, like, you fucking almost ruined the show for everyone chatting. And the guy's wife said something. This is rude. The guy's wife dived in and went, well, don't talk to my husband like that. And he went, you're a fat bitch. And the guy had to just like defend her honour, innit? Even though there was no honour to defend, they'd both been rude the whole show.
Yeah.
And he just went to swing and it just went boop, boop. So we'd walk that stage.
Well, this was a comic who said that.
No. So this is the audience amongst themselves. Me and Red Richardson. You're a fat bitch. Me and Red Richardson had walked backstage and we just heard kerfuffle. We poked our head out and there's fucking punches flying around. It was so exciting.
It is.
Poor old Ryan, who runs the club and owns it. He was just there trying to help. Everyone's like trying to get people out.
What gig was this?
Blackpool Comedy Station.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But great fun gig. Like the Saturday
but not
was
as
great.
Fun as the after show.
I know. Proper ding-dong.
I love watching a fire.
Yeah.
It's rare, isn't it, when it comes to actual swings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of it is just now posturing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then a little bit of de-escalation.
Yeah.
I would have done it. But when it actually comes to blows, it's
Did you see the footage of that ginger guy on the stairwell?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Just tidying up, mate.
What?
He was just murking left, right, and centre.
So it's all... I don't know how it starts or ends, basically. But basically, the footage cuts in. It's of like a... You know, it looks like a Yates's or like an all bar one type bar. There's a stairwell down from the upstairs and it's already happening. And there's literally like loads of people fighting, but there's this ginger chubby lad. Looks like Ed Sheeran.
He's taking names,
and,
man.
He is literally just cleaning house.
He's putting people to sleep.
Dude, Streets of Rage stuff.
Honestly, like literally you can see, he picks one out there. Boom, that one's down
just one punch,
on the floor.
Like loads of them are just dropping like flies.
And like you can see there's three guys up against the wall just trying, hoping he doesn't spot them.
I'd love to have been there, but obviously like on his side.
Yeah, fucking irons them out. So funny. Like, and you can just see, and at one
and just
point,
standing there with him and he starts sparking people out. You're stood like that. Just go like, stop pretending you're dancing.
Just lie down, play dead.
He even goes out of shot. He goes out of shot at one point and somebody just runs that way and it's like a film. You see them just fly back like onto the heat.
Where is this? On Reddit or something?
It just went around on Twitter about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's proper. It's a funny video because he just looks so unlikely, but you can tell he's just boxed because he knows how to transfer.
He's basically the real life person version of that guy in that film.
Yeah, just like you look at him, just this like little ginger chubby kid.
He's been training his whole life for that moment.
Oh man, that's so quality. Anyway, let's wrap it up on that note.
Getting big up the ginger guy.
Yeah, big up yourself, mate. If we can
well
find
done,
out who he
soldier.
Is, get him in, mate.
Soldier of fortune. Get him in for a fight.
Anyway, thanks for listening. This episode was obviously guestless.
Sorry, our guest passed away.
Yeah, you know, God rest her soul.
All right,
we'll get a replacement in for Dad. Bitch.
You're unreliable.
Thanks for tuning in. Listen to our Patreon if you want extra stuff. I see it in it.
Carl just dropped a special.
I did.
On Patreon.
I put an hour long. It's basically a filmed version of an Edinburgh show I did a couple of years ago in a yurt. And I never released it because I wasn't 100% happy with how it ended up. But it's I've put it out there. Finally got over my fear.
Patrons
are really enjoying it. So.
/WeAreTVI.
Yes. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, mooch. We'll see you all next time. All right.
I think you're changing the podcast. 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 I think you're